Lori Petrowski, good morning.
Good morning, John.
Yeah, and you're speaking with me, and the other voice you'll hear is Dallas Hudson. Dallas lives in the Akeley area and does phenology over there. But Lori, you kind of broke your teeth on the phenology show way back when.
Yes, I did. I grew up listening to you.
Well, I'm glad I didn't lead you astray, although there may be days when you think, what was I thinking? But you went on to study phenology, and you did some work at West Virginia. What happened there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in West Virginia, I was looking at historical phenology of wildflowers blooming in the state and also bird migration.
And you were able to find records how?
Yeah, so I became friends with a local birding group there, and they gave me all of their records from the 1930s onward.
Wow.
And yeah, it was really interesting to be integrated into that community and hear all of their stories.
Yeah, well then that sort of helped you with the bird side of things, but what about the wildflowers? How did you find those records?
So I got a lot of those records from going through journals of old naturalists that lived in West Virginia. My earliest records were from the late 1800s, and I also got a lot of my data from herbarium records. So I got to travel to 11 different herbariums in West Virginia and find pressed plants that were blooming and had a date and a location on them.
Wow, nice.
Mm-hmm.
And you put all that together and you came up with a paper that sort of described historical phenology for West Virginia. And then you moved on. And now you are doing phenology in Alaska. Tell us a little bit about what's going on up there.
Yeah, so I'm currently working as a field ecologist for NEON. NEON stands for the National Ecological Observatory Network, a continental scale project that's funded by the National Science Foundation and operated by Battelle. So we divided the country into 20 different eco-climactic domains. So the one that I'm working in is Alaska, and we have both the taiga or boreal forest and the tundra there. And at NEON and up there, we take atmospheric, aquatic, vegetative, and other terrestrial data there for 30 years. A 30-year-long project.
Wow. And you're just getting underway.
Yeah. I think the official date of start when all of the domains were up and running was very recently.
Mm-hmm. But you've been collecting records in Alaska for how long?
This will be my fourth summer. So I started in the summer of 2017.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And what sort of data are you collecting? You're not doing the water and the soil and the air and all of that stuff. You are focused on.
I am focused on the vegetative sampling, including plant phenology. So we have 5 different sites in Alaska, 3 in the boreal forest and 2 in the tundra. And each of those sites, we have a half a mile phenology loop that we monitor throughout the growing season every year.
And are your intern, what do you call your workers?
we call them minions? Yeah, seasonal technicians, yep.
Okay. Your seasonal technicians go out and walk these trails daily, weekly? How often are they out?
Well, it depends on what's happening. So in the spring, things happen very fast, so we go out 3 times a week.
Okay.
And then in the middle of the growing season, when everything's just fully leafed out and the flowers are finished, then we go once a week.
All right. And how many different species of plants are you working with?
At each site right now, we're doing 3 different species, so the 3 dominant species at each site.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of those are similar to the plants or the same as the plants in Minnesota, so our various boreal forest sites, we look at black spruce, white spruce, dwarf birch, Labrador tea, all very familiar with the plants in northern Minnesota.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, those are Trees right outside the window here.
Mm-hmm.
And what's the phenology like up there? What's the big thing that is going on right now in Fairbanks?
A couple of days ago on Sunday, the 10th, was the official green up day.
So
green up in Fairbanks. Yeah, it's a pretty big deal.
You mean outside of people like us? This is just like
right.
The common man?
Yes, yeah, they bring it up on the radio. Whenever green up happens, it's on the radio, all different kinds of radio stations. It's the official day, but it's kind of an unofficial measurement of when you're standing on the University of Fairbanks, Alaska campus, and you look at one specific ridge, and that ridge turns green. So the green up happens here really, really quickly.
Far behind us.
No, that's the surprising thing. I mean,
yeah, I thought she was going to say there was snow on the ground.
Well, we definitely still have snow on the ground in places, but the last couple of days here have been high of 80 degrees.
Yeah, break our hearts. We had I think a high of 41 on Mother's Day.
Snow on the ground.
Yeah,
that was Saturday, I guess.
Yeah, and you had 80 degrees. Well, lucky for you. Send some down. You know, you and I had a little discussion, and another sort of plant that is in some of your areas is the Areophryum vaginatum, the tussock cotton grass, and it's just beginning to flower down here. And you told me the same thing was happening there. Is that right?
Yeah, the cotton grass is just putting out its pollen now.
Wow. Astonishing. That just amazes me. I mean, you guys are, what's the latitude up there? 60? 55?
I think we're at 66.
65?
Wow. 64, somewhere in there.
Yeah, you're roughly 20 degrees further north latitude than we are, and yet you have events that are taking place kind of simultaneously with ours.
Yeah, that's neat.
Yeah, amazing. Did you ever expect... Go ahead.
The cotton grass, the same species, is actually one of the species that we monitor for phenology in one of our Arctic sites.
Okay.
Sometimes it actually flowers through the snow. So I have photos of the Areophryum inflorescences with pollen on them. And there's just a tiny little hole where the snow has melted, where the inflorescence is.
Oh, my word. Mm-hmm. Wow. Has anyone speculated on how that could happen?
They keep very green even underneath the snow, which I think is interesting. So I think as soon as they feel it's time, they start... heating up and melting the snow around their inflorescences. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah. Wow. That is crazy.
Warm-blooded plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, Lori, do you keep any phenology records of your own?
I do.
Good.
Pretty unofficially, though. Mostly just in journaling.
That's, you know, some of the best phenology records, as you probably well know, are mm-hmm. those journals. I mean, that's kind mm-hmm. of what you were working with in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm. True.
And we have no idea, you and I and Dallas, we have no idea what good will come from our journaling, from our note-taking, but somebody somewhere someday will stumble on it and go, oh my word, look at how things used to be. Which is sort of exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what's another thing that you would be sort of anticipating in the Fairbanks area in the next weeks coming up?
Well, I'm really looking forward to flowers blooming. I haven't seen any flowers yet, but I went for a little hike last night, and we saw the beginnings of the woolly lousewort flower, which I think is also in Minnesota.
I don't know that
one.
It's
in the Pedicularis genus.
Okay.
So mostly flowering. I love flowers, and I have yet to see a flower this year.
Ah.
So,
what about
same thing with a colt's foot?
Oh. You have colt's foot up there?
Yeah, we have colt's foot here that it's usually one of the first to flower, so mm-hmm. I'm waiting for that one to flower.
Okay.
Ours are in flower.
Yeah.
Oh,
and what
beautiful.
About...
Do you have frogs?
We have one frog in Alaska. It's the wood frog.
Oh.
Singing.
Yeah, I actually have heard it singing in Creamer's Field, which is a agricultural area in Fairbanks. But we don't get the spring peepers like you guys have in northern Minnesota. Mm. I do miss those.
Yeah. They were singing well this year until this cold weather came, and then they shut off. But hopefully it's warming up now. We'll hear them at least one more time before they cease for the season.
Mm. My mom always sends me a video of them singing every spring, which she did this spring too.
How sweet. That is really nice. Mm-hmm. So the wood frog survives up there. What other herps do you have?
That's it. We have no turtles, no snakes.
Wow.
No salamanders.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised. What's the elevation in Fairbanks?
We're not that high up. The elevation is about 600 feet.
Oh. Well, I guess I thought it would be much higher. You're surrounded by mountains, aren't you?
Yes. Yeah, the Alaska Range is about 2 hours south of us, and then the White Mountains are about an hour north.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So easily visible when you need some relief.
Mm-hmm.
By all means, go ahead.
Another thing that I miss from Minnesota is the maple leaves. So we don't have any maple trees in interior Alaska. So here, people end up tapping birch trees for sap instead of maple trees.
Wow.
So, yeah, they have a lower sugar content, so it takes a lot more sap to make the same amount of syrup, but it's still fun to be able to see the trees running.
Yeah. Our friend John Zazada is a birch sap gatherer, and he came over and gave me several gallons, and I use it to brew my coffee, and it adds a little different flavor to the coffee. It's quite interesting. Mm. You may want to try it.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. And you're right. The syrup and the sugar, the candy that you can make from it is different. Not maple-y at all. It's got its own flavor. Mm. And some people don't prefer it, but I find it quite edible.
Me too. I enjoy it.
Yeah. So what, let's see. We have down here, we have the balsam poplar, balm of Gilead, it's often called. And I think that grows up there.
It does, yeah. I have already picked my balm of Gilead buds for the year.
Ah, okay. And do you just do that as a scientific experiment, or are you using it as a sort of a replacement for Vicks VapoRub?
Yeah, I use it to make a salve.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've made a pain reliever out of it. You rub into wherever you're sore, and it helps a lot, like aspirin.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah, my grandpa makes balm of Gilead, so I grew up having balm of Gilead salve, and we were always told growing up to use it for everything, so chapped lips, cuts, sores, everything.
Care to share your recipe, your grandpa's recipe? How do we do this? If I wanted to do this, how would I do it?
Yeah, so the way that I do it, I take the buds and I put them in sunflower oil. You can also use olive oil. And then I use a double broiler method and just simmer the buds in the oil for a few minutes. And that kind of pulls out all of the good salve oils out of the buds. Until it smells like balm of Gilead. And then I just melt beeswax and put it in there and add a little bit of vitamin E, and then it's good.
Wow.
And then you let it harden, and it hardens into the right texture that you want.
Wow. Oh, nice. That sounds pretty simple.
It's pretty simple.
I may ask you to send that recipe to us as an attachment, and we can post it on our Season Watch site. And I want to say thank you. We're running nearly out of time, and this time just flew by. And I want to thank you, Lori, for joining us this morning. It's wonderful to hear from you and to touch base with what's happening in Alaska. We will be checking out your neon site. And you told me that this is public. The data is public. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. All of the data that we're collecting is public. So it's all available at neonscience.org.
All right. Well, I'll encourage people to check it out. And Dallas, I'm sure you and I will be pawing our way through that data to see what we can make comparisons with our own notes.
Yeah, it's amazing how close they are.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just surprising. And you say Lori, you said you've collected the buds already, but are the trees anywhere near flowering or leafing out?
They are currently leafing out, yep.
Oh, my. Well, that's consonant with here. I had leaf out Friday or Saturday, and the flowers were out too. I could see both the female flowers and the leaves beginning to come out. So it sounds like all you did was trade a few degrees of latitude, and you're in the same place.
mm-hmm. But without any more frogs.
I should close with, so no frogs. What about biting flies, mosquitoes, the real scourge ticks, any of that?
Well, we don't have any ticks,
and
we don't really have biting flies either, but we make up for it in the mosquitoes.
Oh, good, good. Well, I can tolerate the mosquitoes. It's the black flies and the deer flies and the horse flies that I really don't care for.
I agree.
All right. Well, Lori, thanks again. Nice to chat with you. Good luck up there. We'll be keeping an eye on what's happening in Alaska and trying to make some sense out of all of our records. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, John.